Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Greetings, travelers.
Oh, I like that. Greetings, travelers.
Yes, well, I saw that your Count Chocula is out at stores now. So
yes, this year they are Muppets were made of them. So they're Henson themed. I'm all in. So, and it's just the three again this year. No, none of the girl, none of the mixed. No, sadly, no Fruit Brute, Yummy Mummy. They're all gone back to just the three main: Chocula, Strawberry, and Booberry, and you know, the Superior Booberry, as we all know.
So, okay, but, well, I'm glad we've got that resolved. We don't even need an episode now. We've
resolved. Oh, that's it. There you go.
Halloween cereal debate of 2025.
Yep.
What that means to me, as my favorite part of things, is getting further into spooky season. So
yep,
you know,
July the 5th, officially begins, because there are no major holidays until Halloween, except Labor Day. And that, you know, there's no Labor Day mascot. So,
Well, that's true. I love that. Okay. So today we're doing some listener tales. And I believe.
Speaking of spooky. Yeah.
Yes, it's spooky. I don't know that we're going to 100% catch up because we still have a lot of them, but we're getting closer and closer and keep sending them. Travelers, we love them. We love meeting you in person, and you say you're going to send them. So for those of you that have not, you know who you are, get them sent to us right away because we need
them. We're so happy when you guys send these because they are amazing. And wow, I can't thank you enough for these because damn,
yes.
They're awesome.
Agreed. So. Okay, Mark.
We're going to jump right in because we got so many.
Yes, so, I'm making you start. You're starting. Yep.
All right, you made it. You made the decision.
I already know you've somehow messed with my mind, but go ahead.
I'm sure I did. So, no, we just get some. They're a lot scary, and some of them are just cool, and there's no way that we could set it up because they're just so cool. And as always, we're reading these flat. We just got them, but we get them a while, and then we just read them. We don't pre-read them.
Times Mark does go in and scan and can't help himself. But
well, I gotta know if it's something I need to reach out to, stuff like that. So I'm the only one who kind of reads them ahead. And so also take these with a grain of salt. We're getting them from the listeners. So that's all we can say. And a lot of them will follow up with research and stuff because some of them are amazing. So all right. Well, most of them are. So thank you guys for sending them. All right. This has to be one of the scariest things that has ever happened to me. And I don't think I've ever told anyone this story before. It happened in Huntington, West Virginia, at the back parking lot of St. Mary's Hospital near Staunton Road and not far from the corner of 28th Street and Staunton Road. Okay, well, we're going to be up there for a book signing right before Mothman and Cicada Books. So we are going to put this on the list of places to go, except for Erica.
We are absolutely not putting this on the list. Continue.
I'll be there. You can stay in the... at the cabin. It was very late, between 2 and 4 in the morning. I've been working for a local healthcare organization, and one of my clients was in the hospital. I've been helping my employees out by sitting with my client so my employees could take a break. Every employee was taking 3 to 4 hour shifts to sit with this client because his family was hours away and couldn't make it to the hospital during the week. That's very nice of you all. On this particular night, I walked a good distance from the entrance to my car. Before I got into my car, I noticed there were quite a few cars for the time of night parked around me. And backing up was going to take some patience as the car directly behind me wasn't pulled all the way into its parking spot. That's the scariest part of the story for me right there. I hate that.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one terrifying part, right?
Yeah, you do that Austin Powers thing where you do the 97-point turn.
Yeah.
Yep. I got in my car and turned on the engine and let it sit for a few moments while I read a few text messages from earlier that I had neglected to answer. I remember putting my phone down in the passenger seat. I put the car in reverse and remember looking both ways over each shoulder, looked into the rearview mirror before letting off the brake. As I began to back up, I looked at the screen of my dash, and to my surprise, there was a woman standing right behind me, and she was facing me with her hands holding a handbag in front of her below her waist. She was standing closer to the back end of the car behind me. I quickly put the car in drive and inched forward. I looked in the rearview mirror, and no one is there. I get out of my car and look towards the car behind me. No one is there. So I get back in the car again before putting in reverse. Check both my blind spots. Look again in the rearview mirror. Nothing is there. I put it in reverse, and the woman is standing in the same spot. This time, I decided to drive back up and turn the wheel so that I would miss her and try to get the heck out of there. But that just made matters worse. As I inched backward, she began inching towards me to the point.
Every hair standing up. Go ahead.
Again, I put the car in park and got out of the car, and no one is there. I haven't yet realized this might be a ghost. So I pull my car back into my parking spot. I get out of my car, walk back to the main entrance. I never once looked behind me, but I could hear the woman's footsteps behind me as I walked to the entrance. When I got to the entrance, I talked with a security guard and told him I was having trouble backing out of my parking spot and asked if he would come and direct me out of the parking spot. Brilliant. No way was I going to tell him what I witnessed. I didn't want to believe it myself. Before we started to head towards the car, a doctor friend of mine was wanting to head home, and he lived in the same area I lived in. He asked if I could give him a ride. I obliged. So we got in the car. Security guard stood next to the car behind me on my driver's side so I could see him in my side view mirror. As I was backing up and security guard was directing me, my doctor friend spoke up fairly startled and told me, "Watch out for that woman behind us." I stopped, and sure enough, in my backup camera screen, there she stood right behind me. I put it in park and got out. I asked the security guard why he didn't tell the woman to get out of my way. He looked at me and said, "What woman?" I told him to come to my car. I put the car in reverse, and there she stood. He looked at my car and said, "I swear she's not there." I looked at my screen in disbelief and said, "Well, up to you." My doctor friend said, "Go for it. We'll have to deal with whatever it is, but we need to get home." So I backed up and drove off. And before I drove off, I put in car and drive. We looked again at the screen, and she was standing at the end of the parking lot looking right at us in the same stance she was when we were trying to back up. I've never experienced that again. And to this date, I've driven by that area, but I've never been in that parking lot ever again. Scott.
Yeah, Scott. Wow. That was trying to say something.
That's a horror. That's an A24 horror movie waiting to happen.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrifying.
You got a stone tape or something and your camera picks it up, but nothing else is. Again, our human eyes and our human senses can only pick up so much. Animals see so much more than we do. Cameras see a lot more than we do. So your rear view camera was on the right frequency to catch that. It was,
And I definitely work in that lot, but you work at a hospital, which we need hospitals. We cannot burn them to the ground, but I also know that they're sometimes a huge haven for paranormal and preternatural
activity. A lot of emotions going on there, a lot of energy going on there. One of the weird things about hospitals is they're generally built on cheap land, which could be, has a lot of cheap land, has a lot of previous history. So, Scott, thank you so much for that. That is Halloween level creepy. I'm glad you had witnesses to that. That's amazing. And I would look into that area, but you know, you're going to look into that parking lot and say, "Oh, there's a lot of people who disappeared in that area, died in the hospital, died in that. So that's going to be a hard one to track down. But we're definitely going to that parking lot. Again.
I like
your theory. Going to that parking lot, Erica. We're going to park there when we go to our book signing there. So.
We are absolutely not doing that. We are not.
All right.
So with that said, moving on to the next one.
All right.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
My grandparents saw a Sasquatch near Crater Lake, Oregon in 2010, and it changed my grandpa's life. Hmm. Telling you all this on behalf of my grandparents. They're both in their 70s now and live in Southern Oregon. I've heard this story a few times growing up, but it wasn't until recently when I brought it up again that I realized how deeply it impacted them. My grandpa has since spent the last 15 years researching everything he can about Bigfoot. My grandmother, on the other hand, won't talk about it at all anymore. Well, we hear that a lot. There are a lot of people whose lives have been dramatically changed by their encounters, and the thriving need to know and understand ends up sometimes taking over people's lives. We get
That's what happens at these conferences. People are there just to get answers and to see people that they're not crazy.
Yeah.
There are others, and that's why we're here, and that's why our podcast is here. It's why there's a lot of podcasts here that do the same thing. So yeah. And then there's others who never want to talk about it again, change their life the other way. They're slam that door. Don't want anything to do with it. So
no, that makes sense. Okay. Here we go. The sighting happened August, 2010 near Crater Lake National Park. They were camping a few miles outside the park boundary, not a developed campground, just off one of the forest roads near Rim Drive area. My grandpa said they had parked and walked down a little ravine and they heard water flowing. That's when it happened. They were coming back up a slight incline when my grandma stopped dead in her tracks and grabbed my grandpa's arm. About 50 yards up the slope, standing near a ridge above them, was what they both described as a large upright figure, dark brown or black in color, at least 8 feet tall, standing completely still watching them. It wasn't a bear. That's what my grandpa keeps repeating. It wasn't a bear. He grew up hunting and knows everything about the shape, posture, and stillness was wrong for any known animal. He also mentioned the arms are too long and the shoulders too broad. And the way it tilted its head slightly while observing them was too human, but not. My grandma panicked. She apparently started crying and wouldn't look at it, just begged him to go back to the car. My grandpa says he felt frozen in place for a minute, like his brain was trying to process something it couldn't explain. Then it turned, not quickly, but smoothly, and walked back behind the ridge and was gone. No sound, no crashing, just gone. Later, he started researching more, and he found the area is uncomfortably close to one of the known missing 411 locations. It's only made him more obsessed with what he saw. He's filled entire binders with maps, sightings, weather reports, even local legends. He swears there's more going on in the Southern Cascades than most people realize. My grandma won't even look at the binders. They never reporting the sighting officially. My grandpa's told a few friends, but mostly he writes and reads and watches for patterns. He's not someone who's prone to fantasy. He's a very grounded, practical guy, but whatever he saw out there changed something in him. He still goes back out there a couple times a year, same area, still searching. If you all know of anyone who has had an experience near Crater Lake or the surrounding forest, I'd love to hear it. My grandpa would be thrilled to know he's not the only one who's seen something out there. We keep listening to you and hope to hear more. Consider this our report, Levi.
Well, thank you, Levi, for that. And we will add that to the BFRO. The Southern Cascades. There's a lot there. Crater Lake, there's a lot there. We've had lots of sighting reports. That's a big forest. Lots of strange things. And like your grandpa said, there's a lot of local legends. There's a lot of strange things out there. Missing 411, we've talked about that. It's glorified for entertainment. But there are real cases that they're based on. And there are some people who've gone missing in that area and been murdered in that area. I don't think this thing had any threat to you and was not endangering you. So I don't think that's the problem. I do think there's just strange things out there that we don't know about. And that's 100% preternatural. Could be a guy in a ghillie suit, just weird angle, so it looked taller than it was. But I get the feeling you saw?
No, it sounds like it's an old man of the woods. They're very quiet. We hear that all the time. And it is a little hard because we're not used to seeing such things. So our brain does go, error. Yep. So, yeah.
Cannot compute Norman coordinate. Yep, that's it. Erica, yeah. You just called it.
Exactly. Well, Levi, thanks for sharing. I would encourage your grandfather to look up stuff on the BFRO. And what is the other site for the Sasquatch sightings that my brain is
The Expedition Bigfoot has.
Expedition Bigfoot. Yeah, their those museum,
are two. That museum in Blue Ridge, Georgia, they track them all too.
Yeah, so
both those are great. Yep.
Okay, thanks. All right.
And thank you so much.
Hi to Grandma, Grandpa, or Grandpa yeah. and not
or Grandpa. Or Grandpa, and he can say hi to Grandma for us. Yep, yeah. So. All right. My turn now.
Yeah.
Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
Does this sound familiar to you at all? I was told to send you this by my cousin. This happened in April when I was staying at my cousin's place in Noida. They live in a high rise, not super fancy, just a regular 10-foot apartment. I took the elevator down. Huh?
10-floor apartment.
10-floor apartment. Did I say wrong? Sorry.
You said 10-foot.
Foot. Okay, yeah, 10th-floor apartment. Sorry. I took the elevator down around 11 p.m. to get something from the convenience store. I clearly remember pressing 0 for ground, but instead of going down, it went up. Weird, but I thought maybe someone called it. It stopped at 9, doors open. The lights of the hallways were off, and it looked abandoned and dusty. But this was a working floor with families. I was confused, stepped out for a second, thinking maybe I hit the wrong button. After a second, I got this crazy urge to leave, like goosebumps, full body anxiety. I got back in and hit ground. When I got back, I casually told my cousin. He stared at me and said, "Bro, 9th floor hasn't been finished yet. No one lives there. It's locked." I thought he was kidding, so I double-checked with security guard, and no, he was not lying. The guard told me the same thing. We went up the next morning. The lift skips that floor entirely. The button doesn't even light up anymore. I swear I pressed 0. This elevator incident still gives me chills. Was it even real, Mike?
Well, Mike, I would go with yes, it is real.
I think maybe it did stop there because it's a locked floor and it, you know, the dusty and all that. Maybe that's because there's construction going on. But you had that sense of get out of there. That's your instincts. That's your survival instinct saying get out of there. That's extrasensory perception that we don't understand. You know, get the heck out of Dodge. So that alone is preternatural. That could be the simple answer, but I think the other answer is you may have had a glitch in the matrix and got to a floor that you're not supposed to get to in a time you weren't supposed to be there.
And something decided to go, hey, come join me. And you smartly went, nope, getting back in the elevator. I like it, Mike. Yeah, that's terrifying. Have fun visiting with your cousin again. That sounds delightful. Okay. Next, I was sitting by a river in Montana one day. That sounds beautiful. An older Native American gentleman was sitting near. I had seen a beautiful rock at the edge of the river and said, "Would it be bad if I got that rock and took it home?" He thought for a minute and told me, "Everything has a spirit. Maybe that rock spirit talked to you and told you it was tired of being in the same place. Maybe that wet stone was tired." Yeah, was being in the same place, heart emoji. "My home and altar are loaded with spirits. I thought you might appreciate it, Kathy." Oh, I love that. That's sweet.
You got a good one there, Erica. That
was cute and not terrifying like being stuck in an elevator on a floor that's not open. Alrighty then.
Whetstones are often used to sharpen blades and stuff like that because you just go across a whetstone. So that's nice. If he's right, that rock talk to you, you know, take it home. That's perfect. And, you know, if you're autistic, heck yeah, grab all the rocks you want. Just don't grab them out of rivers. Riverbeds are fine. So, but yes. But don't grab them out of rivers because a lot of animals use those as bedding and stuff like that. Especially in North Carolina, that's our hellbenders. Our salamanders use those. Please don't, they're all endangered. Please be careful.
Yes, very true. But I think that was very sweet.
Okay.
This next is a long one, Mark. So
yeah, so we'll take this one into the break. So here we go. Oh my gosh. Greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
Greetings. Last time I wrote in, I promised to share a tale about my time at Chillingham Castle in England. Ooh, that's on my bucket list. I've been dying to go to Chillingham.
Yes.
I warn you now that this is a very long story. So grab some snacks, get comfortable, and join me in the Wayback Machine as we travel to 2009. Oh, all right. Yeah. Thank you. You've become our new writer. So a bit of backstory for context. My parents have been planning a trip to Scotland and England for some time. We're going in May, shortly after my graduation from the University of Central Florida. Hey, that's our old stomping grounds. I had one request for this trip, and that was to be able to stay overnight in a castle. And my parents agreed that it would be my graduation present. Sometime in what I think was April, my mom came into my room where I was watching TV, and she excitedly told me that she had booked a castle to stay in. I perked up and immediately asked her the name of the castle. When she said Chillingham, I froze. Minutes before she entered my room to tell me, I had literally just finished watching Scariest Places on Earth, which was hosted by Linda Blair. The episode I just watched, the one about Chillingham Castle. I couldn't make this up if I tried. When we arrived at the castle, it was as beautiful as it was foreboding. Certainly a structure that was meant to be more imposing than welcoming, but it drew me in nonetheless. We had access to the entire castle and grounds, and I can't tell you what a fantastic graduation present it was, and I will never forget it. When I say we, I should clarify that it was my mother, my father, myself, and a very dear friend of mine at the time that were on this two-week trip. We stayed in what is known as the Grey apartment. And there is the portrait of Lady Grey hanging within the apartment for which it is named. Lady Grey's real name was Lady Mary Berkeley, and she was the lady of the castle for a time. There is a well-known story that Lady Grey will emerge from her portrait and wander the corridors of the castle at night. But my friend and I were unable to witness this for ourselves. I would have killed for a static night vision camera. However, I can tell you that I had felt a sense of sadness and peace coming from her portrait. I thanked her for allowing us to stay in her home, and surprisingly, I felt very comfortable in that little apartment, with the exception of the bathroom. Both my parents and my friend abhorred that bathroom. We would actually go to the bathroom in pairs because we always felt uneasy about it and felt better with a lookout. Now, keep the bathroom in the back of your mind because you're going to be hearing about it again.
Oh, wow.
Being a good haunted location, there was, of course, a ghost tour. So come nightfall, we grabbed our lanterns and went to hear about the history of the castle and land it sat upon. Northumberland is right on the border between England and Scotland, and you can only imagine the carnage and bloodshed it has seen over the years. It was about halfway through our tour, probably sooner than that, and my father left us and returned to the apartment as he wasn't feeling well. In fact, he hadn't been feeling well since the moment we pulled up to the castle. It wasn't so much the torture chamber we were in or the ghastly descriptions of what John Sage, the torturer of Chillingham, had done to his victims that turned my father's stomach. It was something else. So my dad left us to continue the tour while he went back to the apartment alone. It would not be until the following morning that he would relate to us, but apparently when he'd gone back, well, let's just say worship the porcelain god in that creepy bathroom, he heard someone say Bobby in a Scottish accent. My dad was the only living soul in the apartment at this time, and it occurred to the rest of us we're in another section of the castle on the ghost tour. He was so ill that he just didn't care what he heard at that moment, and proceeded with his worship of the almighty porcelain god. Later, my father would joke that he usually doesn't have auditory hallucinations with a Scottish accent. Wow. I should point out that my father is a skeptic in the family, and he wasn't the only one who was sick the entire time we were at Chillingham. The second we left, he was back to normal. There was no rhyme or reason for his illness, nothing he ate. It started when we arrived at Chillingham and disappeared when we left Chillingham. He tries to explain it as being something rational, but even he can't really put a finger on what caused his sudden illness. When we returned to the apartment, The castle seemed to come alive in the stillness of the night. Weird footsteps coming from below, and they continued to the bathroom in pairs. For the most part, I slept very well, with all the lights on and hugging my friend. I'm not proud, I admit it. Most of the activity, though, seemed to be in the room my parents were sleeping in. It was referred to in the castle as the Three Steps Room, as there were three small steps that led into the room itself. There was an armoire next to the bed that my mom kept getting annoyed with as it kept opening in the night, and she had to keep getting it shut. It wasn't until morning that she realized the armoire latched from the inside, and it shouldn't have opened at all.
Oh, yikes.
The bathroom, still creepy in the daytime, refused to even take a shower in there the next morning because it felt like you were being watched the entire time. Pervy ghost watching me in the shower? No, thank you. The next morning, as we waited for our taxi to come pick us up, my friend and I decided to walk the castle grounds and see it for ourselves in the daylight. For a place with a history of so much death, torture, and bloodshed, it was gorgeous. One of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever seen. However, if you look closely at the trees around the property, you will notice the trunks seem to be twisted and contorted into gruesome, pained faces. Screaming faces. There is a story about a hanging tree on the property, and while I'm well aware that the human mind does to like to matrix things, there's just a vibe these trees give off, and the otherwise serene area makes it doesn't seem right. As my friend and I were returning to the castle from our walk around the property, we ended up running into one of the groundskeepers who was walking his dog. We stopped to chat with this gentleman and hopefully get some puppy love from his dog, seeing we missed our own puppies back in the States. The thing was, though, the dog would not come near us. Even his owner said that it was strange behavior for him. One minute, the dog was happy and bouncing, and the next he is cowering behind his owner with his tail tucked and his ears back. The three of us chatted for a bit before we all went our separate ways, and the second dog was away with us. Oh, it was away from us. It was back to bouncing and being happy again. I remarked to my friend how bizarre that it was that we continued walking back to the castle. But we didn't get very far, since I found myself bracing for impact with the gravel path we were on. There were no tree roots for me to trip on or over. The ground was not slippery. And while I am a blonde, I can attest that this was not one of those moments. I just fell. My knees and hands were all scraped up and bloody. I can't explain it, except it felt like someone stuck their foot out in front of me to trip me. Only no one was there. I would have typically chalked this up to my own clumsiness, but after seeing the dog react in such a strange manner and knowing for a fact that I did not slip or trip on anything in the environment, I just can't explain it. Also that morning, once I cleaned myself up from my spectral fall, in a room downstairs that led to the dungeon, my parents, my friend, and myself all watched as a doorknob turned by itself. Fun fact about this door, it was a swing door, and the doorknob was only there for decoration. And there was a window on the door itself so you could see who or what was on the other side. And of course, no one there. Just a turning doorknob that wasn't supposed to turn. There's also a picture that my mother took of our tour guide for the ghost tour, William. And it wasn't until reviewing it much later that I noticed someone was standing at the gate behind him. To me, it looks like a woman with her hands clasped in front of her. I know no one was behind William when we took that picture. And no one at the castle was dressed like that, so your guess is as good as mine. It was a little rainy, so I wonder if maybe Lady Berkeley came out to see what was going on in her home. One last note about Chillingham. Don't take anything from the building, not even a bloody piece of fruit. Now, I've been reading and watching every little thing on the paranormal since I was a little kid, and I know a big no-no is taking objects from haunted locations. What's funny about this? This wasn't an object directly linked to the castle. This was a piece of fruit laid out for us at breakfast. You see, my mother is diabetic, and since we were going to be on the road that morning, I suggested she take a banana with her if her sugar should crash. Well, apparently the curse of Chillingham extends to taking fruit for medical purposes as well. We ended up lost to our next destination, the bed and breakfast we had booked, somehow lost our reservation, so we almost didn't have a place to stay for the night. Things worked out in the end, thankfully, but it was a bit hairy for a while. In case you're wondering, we threw away the cursed fruit. Even my skeptic of a father wasn't taking any more chances.
Wow.
I may never be able to explain my experiences during my stay at Chillingham Castle, but I can tell you that it is a place rich in history, steeped in tragedy, and shrouded in mysterious beauty. If you are brave enough to stay the night at this magnificent castle, take a moment to thank Lady Berkeley for allowing you into her home. She might just pay you a visit and make sure your stay is a pleasant one. Just make sure you don't take any cursed fruit or any other items home with you. I should note that there was a British film crew there. My family and I were on John Sargent on the Tourist Trail Season 1, Episode 2, titled Kings and Castles, that aired in Britain on November 17th, 2009. I know I have copies somewhere and would be happy to share those with you, along with plenty of pictures that I took of my visit. I can post those on Facebook or in the Discord if you would like. So that concludes my tale of Chillingham Castle. I apologize for the length, but there was a lot going on and certainly a lot that couldn't be explained. It was an amazing experience and certainly a memorable graduation present. I hope to return someday. Kirsty.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Not staying there under any circumstances, but I love it. Thank you for the story, Kirsty.
Kirsty, that's amazing. I've heard so many good things about Chillingham. I so want to go there. I'm just super excited. Someday. And I'm so glad you got to do it. I'm going to look up that episode of the show. I'd love to see your pictures. Please post them in our Discord or on our Facebook page. We would love
that. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Our Facebook, we're still trying to deal with. It got hacked. We're trying to find it back. But so post it in our Discord, please.
Yes, please, please, please. And with that, we are going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Destiny Beard, the lyrical soprano who will haunt your dreams. With her alluring melodies and intricate harmonies, this dark siren of wistful song shall capture your soul and lead you into the night. Check out Destiny's new single, The Haunting Is Over, with international musicians Sam Haynes and Gary Bennett, as well as her other musical works at destinybeard.com.
Okay, we are back. We are back, Mark. And I see that there's a little one and a big one. Do you want to read the little one so you're not just having to read all the big ones?
That sounds like a plan. So thank you so much. My voice appreciates that. We've been at so many events and we've been talking to so many people. We're doing our best, gang, and we're still recording as much as he can. So, all right. A little while ago, me and my family had an encounter in New Orleans at the place, D'Armes Hotel. Okay. Our speaker went off and did it again. And every time it went off, and it would basically be a fire alarm. The last thing is everybody had an awful dream but me. P.S. Why do werewolves hate ghosts? Because they taste like sheep. Archer. Hey, Archer, you stole my line, man. I love that. But yeah, New Orleans, the Arms Hotel is a creepy place. And, you know, speakers go off, electronics weird out there. They still are not sure what causes it all. But hoping it's something simple. But yeah, enjoy the trip and thanks for sharing.
Wow. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love what New Orleans. Okay. So thank you, Archer. Okay. I found this report and glad someone reported it. I saw Bigfoot when I was stationed there last year. I heard you talk about reporting and comparing the time and place and found this. Glad I didn't imagine it. Officer has Bigfoot sighting on Georgia military base. Eyewitnesses served in the military for 15 years and requested to remain anonymous due to the nature of his profession. The witness is an expert in the field of long-range shooting with multiple deployments. The incident occurred May of 2018 at a designated rifle range at a military base here in Georgia. The range is estimated to be approximately 250 yards wide and 1,000 yards long. It's around 3 p.m. and the weather was clear. This base contains heavily wooded areas, a large creek, ponds, and is known to have a large population of deer, turkey, and other wildlife due to limited hunting. Witness reports he was participating in a shooting exercise at the rifle range that began around 10 a.m. in the morning. He was working with several others, including the range safety officer that he would call the range hot or cold, and then account for every person there. They were shooting at steel targets varying from 300 to 950 yards out, and he was helping spot the targets by panning back and forth through his high-powered military optics. During one session, the range supervisor called the range cold so shooters could go down the range and fix or verify their targets. He reports they drove to the targets using a golf cart, painted the targets with fresh paint, and returned to the firing line. As the range safety officer saw each shooter back into place, he made the announcement, "Already on the firing line." The witness stated, "I got down back behind my spotting scope, and I was looking down at the series of targets at the farthest end of the range, and the range safety officer gave the command, 'The range is hot,' and the shooters started firing. I was spotting for several shooters, so I had to pan left to right from time to time. At one point, I could see down a long service road fire break at the backside of the range. The road was 10 feet wide and had top-notch optics. I saw a grayish-brown colored individual with very long arms walk across the service road from right to left in two steps. At first, I thought it was someone, but who in their right mind would be walking in the area bullets are being fired towards and not taking cover when they heard the rifle shots? The range officer called a ceasefire because he also saw something. He called the range control and verified that they were the only hot range and no service personnel were working in the small arms impacted area. There was also no training scheduled that day. Witness states that using the Leupold MK4 spotting scope that day, he's well trained at identifying individuals through the scope. A picture of the scope is included. The witnesses also provided a picture of the moon he took for the scope to demonstrate the incredible optic abilities of this scope. The witness returned and used a laser range finder in an effort to determine the range and size of the creature. He estimates the creature was approximately 7 foot tall and weighed a minimum of 300 pounds. The witness reports that during a super challenging competition in January that following year, two servicemen on duty reported seeing a very tall person in a ghillie suit crossing the road about 3/4 of a mile from his sighting. He reports that all the competitors were accounted for and there's no explanation for an individual to do that on a military base except after dark.
Especially after dark.
Yeah, with a human-like face but no real neck. Just kind of triangular to his huge shoulders, only for a second before he disappeared back in the brush. Thought you'd be happy to know that you're doing great work. Thank you, David." Wow.
So, David, sounds like you sent us a BFRO report and then tied your stuff at the beginning and end. So that's great. You saw him with a human-like face and no real neck. That sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
And triangular to his huge shoulders. Yeah. That's the classic. And you saw them only for a second. And that's these other sightings only for a second while they cross a yard, a road and two steps. Yeah, that's a big thing. Holy cow. Wow. You looked up your report and guess what? There was another report. So that's how we do it. So, all right. Do Do you want to take the short one next so I can take the long one next since we've been swapping?
No, I don't mind. You talk okay. way more than I do. So,
all right. Here we go. Thanks again, David. Met you at Gatlinburg. Here's my report as asked. Can you keep my name off of it? My kids hate that I talk about this. Well, yeah, we will keep your name off of it. I was having lunch with a friend at a picnic area near the Navajo River on the Jicarilla Apache Reservation. I butchered that. We heard a loud thump near the water. We went to investigate and saw a large sandstone rock near the bank that wasn't there before. We didn't hear or notice anything else and went back to eating. While we were eating, she noticed something behind me. She said she thought she saw something. We decided to take a look. We split up. The table is surrounded by oak brush. She decided to go on the outside of the brush. I would walk through the brush towards the sound. While I was walking, I heard her gasp. I turned to look at her when I heard a grunt in the direction I was heading to. I turned back to see a Sasquatch staring at me. It was 30 feet away. It was rocking its head back and forth as if it was curious about me. It was roughly 7 feet tall, extremely muscular build, and had black hair. And this was in 2007, Anonymous.
Wow.
That's great, Anonymous. And glad we got to meet you. I don't know what to tell you. That you saw, thank you for reporting. You saw what you saw. So,
well, you probably saw Bigfoot. So, yes, and I understand why your kids might say not to talk about it. But, yeah. And another it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for, we had fun at Gatlinburg and we met a few people there. So it was epic.
Yes. So,
thank you.
In the heart of the Smoky Mountains. Okay, here we go. Yep. I am looking for opinions. Well, that we are in no short supply of. So, okay. Over the weekend, my boyfriend and I rented a cabin. When we got there, strange things started happening. Lights flickering, phones vibrating with no notifications. The fridge kept setting itself back to crushed ice. Both thermostats changed from 68 to 66 on their own. The blinds kept repositioning and swinging on their own. We turned off the AC to ensure it wasn't a draft. The bag in the bathroom started rattling. His cell phone alarm went off at 11:15. He doesn't have an alarm set at that time. We saw a black figure twice, once in the bathroom and once on the porch. Very split second, but it was enough to make me feel crazy. And this is where it gets really weird. Okay, I don't love that it was already really weird, and now it's getting really weird.
I think that's your favorite sentence in these. Every time somebody says that, you just go, oh my gosh.
Yes, and why I agreed to read this, I did this to myself, so here we go. Around 11 p.m., he and I went outside to smoke a cigarette. He looked at me and mentioned there was something standing in the woods to the right of us. I didn't see anything. Then he said he felt exhausted and passed out while sitting in the chair. I got up to check on him, and he came back too. He then looks right again and says, it's over there. I asked him what he was seeing. I don't see it. I feel it. Oh, sorry. I asked him what he was seeing. He said, I don't see it. I feel it. I asked him, what do you feel? He said, I feel a threat, but don't worry. My kids are safe. You're safe. It's after me. And he lost consciousness again. Oof. I don't love this at all. I lifted his head up to make sure he was all right, and he opened his eyes with tears running down his cheeks. He was conscious again. I asked him to remember what happened, and he said we just walked out to smoke a cigarette. I asked him he was playing a joke because I couldn't believe what I witnessed. He had no idea what I was talking about. He thought we were just smoking. Then he looks right again and says, it's still there. I looked over, and he snapped at me, don't look at it. I asked him what it was, and he said, just don't look at it. I told him to stop looking at it and tried to block his view, but he kept fighting around my hand to look. He lost consciousness again, but his eyes were open. At this point, I'm scared and crying. I grabbed his face and looked into his eyes to see if he was there. I gave him a kiss, and he didn't kiss me back. I knew something was off. He came to again, and I saw he was bawling, and asked me what was going on, and I just asked him if he was playing a joke or if he really doesn't know what's happening. Then he started to fling his head backwards, banging the back of his head on the rocking chair. I screamed at him to stop, and he did it again. I put my hand on his head to soften the blows. He stopped doing that, and I grabbed his face again to make sure he was still there. I was checking for black eyes. Then he started banging his head again, so I grabbed his head and pulled him to my chest and held him there. He came back again a little bit, but then started laughing this terrifying, loud, belittling laugh with his eyes wide open. I started bawling because I was so scared, and he started laughing like that again. Then he looks over to the right and said, "It's still there." He started asking me to slap him, begging me to slap him. I couldn't do it. Then he then said, "Pinch me." To do something, I pinched his arm extremely hard. He mentioned something still being over there, so I sat in his lap and buried my face in his arm and told him to stop looking. Let's go inside. He came back again, and I was standing there holding him, asking him to get up so we could go inside. I got poked in the butt. I jumped, scared to death, and told him, "Let's go now." As soon as we walked inside, he was back to normal. I was distraught, shaking, heart racing, tears pounding. He kept asking, "What happened? What did he do? Did he hurt me?" He thought I was playing a joke on him. This went on for about an hour. "Please tell me your opinions." He mentioned before we left, he heard something speaking to him in a different language out of his closet. And since we have been back, the light outside of his bedroom flicker. He walked outside and the street lights flickered. I'm convinced something took over or tried to. Please advise. I just found out his sister is a Wiccan and did some ritual as their father was passing away. She hated both of them. I don't know how I forgot about him leaning back in the chair, stiffened up, and started making a gurgling, gagging noise. Then he leaned forward, continued doing that. I pat him on the back thinking he was puking, but he never did. Anonymous. I don't love any of that. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Well, first off, I think he needs to check for medical attention, because immediately my thoughts are epilepsy mixed with a little bit of sadly schizophrenia mixed with a little bit of paranoia and delusion. That's my immediate thought. I don't want to debunk this, but those all are very common symptoms of those three things. As an epileptic, I can vouch for that. I do get auditory hallucinations sometimes. I get, so that can be all that. That sounds immediately like that. And you did the right thing by holding him, not letting him hurt himself, keeping him upright, you know, don't letting him gag. So you did the right things on all of that. It could be that something was trying to take hold of him, because that's also similar to possession. That's why it's very difficult. Mental health and physical health and spiritual health are all very related and can be very tricky things. That's the whole point of the show, Evil, was them trying to figure out, is this health or is this mental health or is this a demonic infestation? So yeah, they all go hand in hand, sadly, because also we think these things try to prey on people with weak psyches and people with weak brains and stuff like that.
Recommend, if he has health insurance, getting him looked at by a neurologist just to make sure there isn't an underlying issue, because like Mark has epilepsy and he was having seizures, didn't realize he was having seizures until he had a grandma seizure and was taken to the emergency room. That's when that came up. Correct, Mark?
Yeah. And that's just it. He was a daydreamer. He was this, and I would black out and have weird things. So yes, get that check 100%, but also doesn't hurt. Get a spiritual advisor to, give you guys a blessing or something like that and just protect you. But I would highly go the health route first. That's most important, because if nothing else, you're going to verify it wasn't anything like that. So
Agreed.
I hope the best for you both. Oh my gosh, Anonymous, please
keep us updated,
but take care of yourself.
And never go back to that cabin again, ever. It sounds like it needs to be burned to the ground. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Hi, Mark and Erica.
Hello.
Hi. I was having a conversation with my niece, and she told me that back in November 2024, she began to see this figure, which she described as a tall, approximately 6 foot with a smile, a gold watch, and this thing appears once a month. His figure will appear in a corner somewhere or outside a window and smiles and then points at the watch, which is counting down. The time started at 1200 and it is now at 625-ish. And it appears to her once a month and has not been seen this month. She's not sure why she's seeing it and she's worried if she's crazy. Her mom is worried that she's schizophrenic. Hey, that sounds, what a coincidence. But I lean on the spiritual side of life and do not think this is mental illness. She is also completely normal, does not hear things that aren't there, does not see things besides this. She asked her friends if they see that, in quotation marks, when it appears. Nobody else does. I've asked her in-depth questions in an attempt to find out more, like what time, date, and where she has this experience in hopes that she's keeping track of it when it's happening. But she hasn't. I informed her to do this. I understand that this may not be what I think it is, and it could just be a mental thing, but I also don't want her to think she's crazy, and from the interactions I've had with her, I just don't believe she is. Do you know this or know anybody who has any idea or experienced something similar? Please let me know, Olivia. Wow, Olivia. I do think, again, it doesn't hurt to have a therapist check you out. It doesn't hurt to have a neurologist check you out. That does, but the fact that it's random and appearing and it has the watch, that's kind of a significant detail, something weird going on there. Yes.
Yes.
I agree. So that could be something trying to tell you something. Could be something, a reflection ghost, like, you know, stone tape, but that it's just attached to a person. That's interesting. I'm not sure. Erica, theories?
It seems like a messenger. I, of course, would go the neurology, all that route, but I would take a look to see if that time has any significance, like if there is a timing that has significance, because there are people who've seen things that foretell future events, you know, what such as this. And that's what I would look for, because it's so very specific that it's interesting to me.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I'd also love to know what happened in this girl's world right before this started happening.
Yeah, 100%. That sounds like wouldn't hurt to just make sure we go over any past traumas, something hidden that she doesn't even think about that could be triggering this.
So. Agreed. 100%. Okay. So
well, we got a few big ones left. Do we want to try to tackle one more before we go, or we'll save them for next time?
No, I think we should tackle one more, and maybe we become adventurous and go over a little bit, because let's see. Okay.
All right. We'll try it. We'll play it by ear. All right. Yeah. So
okay.
Whose turn is it? I lost track now.
I think it's my turn. Thank you, Olivia, for your story.
Yes. Thank you, Olivia. Good luck.
Okay. When I was between 8 and 10 years old, we were living in Gulfport, Mississippi. We've been there.
Nice area.
Throughout my childhood, my mother frequently took my brothers and me to the beach, like almost every weekend. I remember this story vividly as a memory, but I also remember my family, people at church camp, and the news talking about it. One day at the beach, we ran into a woman with two little girls with her. They were carrying trash bags and very dirty. They were homeless, as I found out later, but I didn't realize it at the time. The older girl looked to be my age. I remember playing in the sand with her and collecting seashells, running from the waves, etc. I don't remember much about the younger girl, but I do vividly remember her asking to play with my bucket and shovel to build sandcastles with my little brothers. At one point, a man in a van pulled up along the road and approached the woman. Next thing I know, the mother was calling to the girls to come over. I remember the other one being called Beatrice, as she immediately responded to the name. Not long after, my mom gathered my brothers and me to take us home, went to wave goodbye to Beatrice, but she was no longer there. Neither was the man or the van, and the woman and the young girl were still on the beach where the woman had been talking to the man. We went home and thought nothing else about it until a day or two later when my parents were watching the news while I was getting ready for a bath. I heard the news say a homeless girl was missing and they believe to be kidnapped from the beach. Then I heard the name Beatrice. I tried to go in the living room to see what was going on. I was immediately shushed and told to get in the bathtub. I tried to tell my parents, I know her. I know her. That's my friend. My dad asked my mom what I was talking about. My mother said nothing. Eventually, I took my bath and went to bed, forgetting all about it as I was excited to go to church camp the next weekend. So I was thinking about all the fun things we were going to do. I didn't hear anything else about it till I went to camp. As it happens, the church camp was near the same beach where I'd met Beatrice. In fact, part of our activities were going to the exact same part of the beach where I met her. At least it seemed that way to my 8-year-old brain. Who knows, though? It's Long Beach. The area was literally called Long Beach. Okay. While at church camp during one of our outings to said beach, we were having a sandcastle building contest. While building my masterpiece, I heard the counselor talking with one of the other counselors. She was talking about a little homeless girl going missing from around here, and they found her body. She'd been raped and murdered, and she even said the name Beatrice. I started freaking out and had to be taken back to the dorms. While I was walked back to the dorms, I remembered noticing a lot of police around. I don't remember what happened after that until I woke up in the middle of the night in hysterics and had wet the bed. My counselor, bless the girl, was so sweet. She helped me clean up, change my bedding, and stayed with me all night until we could call my mom to come get me. I remember it vividly as well. Her name was Sherry Carter, and she was my preacher's daughter. I went home after and saw various news stories over the weeks about Beatrice's murder. The story goes a man that I saw in the van was a predator that saw they were homeless, stopped and offered mother food and shelter, but for whatever reason wanted to take Beatrice with them to McDonald's. Just Beatrice. For some ungodly reason, the woman let him. She waited hours and they never returned. I guess at some point she called the police or flagged someone down. I don't know. But within days, no more than a week, they found Beatrice's body. This was all over the news for a while after the murder. I remember hearing about it again when the new school year started, only the news reports were about finding the man and arresting him. This was a huge thing for Gulfport and Long Beach in the 80s. Things like this don't just happen. I tell you all of that to tell you this. While sitting on the couch watching old unsolved child murders and eating McDonald's, I remembered Beatrice. So I got on Google and started looking for anything on the case. Nothing. So I tried to be brave. Nothing there either. No record of anything even close to my story happening between 85 and 95 in Mississippi. So how the fuck do I remember this so vividly across multiple weeks and months? To this day, I still vividly remember it happening, but it never happened. I found out about the Mandela effect and found your podcast. Do you think this is a glitch in the Matrix? Daniel. Yes, that is my answer, Mark. That is my answer. Yes, that is a glitch in the Matrix. What's your name's braces?
Dolly's braces. Yeah, no, that is possible. I do think we sometimes remember things a little off. It could be a different time period. You could be off by a few years. I would check all of the 80s, all of the 90s from that time period. Especially young memories like that can be very, very vague. On the time frame, you might think you're around 6. It might actually been around 8 or 10.
But that's still, how the brain for a decade like this.
Yeah, no, I'd widen the net, widen the search. You think it was this area of Long Beach? It might be. Long Beach is a big beach, like you said. It could be anywhere. You might be remembering the name wrong. It might be something like that. It could just be simple misremembering, and you're just getting some of the facts mixed up. But also, it could be like you said. It's gotten wiped. It's also a tourist area, and they don't like to talk about these things. They don't like talking about, and if it was a homeless person, all the easier to wipe it away. Now, the newspapers.com, that would be the place I would check next to see if anything happens. That's actually where I would check, because back in the day, researching this, we didn't have that, and I missed that. But they were there. That's what I would look. I might even do that myself, see if I can find anything. But that's what I would check. Check next, Daniel. If you really want to research this rabbit hole, that's where I would go. Brave is a great site to try to find these reports, but Google is not the be-all, end-all, gang. Remember, it's getting its stuff from AI sources and other things too, and just like Wikipedia, you can't trust everything that's there. It's typed in by people. So I would go newspapers.com and if nothing else, go to police reports. Here, they can't take those away.
So. Very, very true. Very true. Okay, Mark, there's two more. I think we can bang them out. Let's do
it. I think we can. So one's not too long. All right. So greetings, travelers.
Greetings.
I wrote to you before, and here's the latest encounter. Oh, we love those. So
sounds terrifying.
All right. I have been getting packed up to move, and we had to hire a couple of people to do the packing. I had to get a second storage unit. Grr. Oh, wait. I still haven't found a new place yet. August 3rd, 2025. Wow, that's... Yeah, we got this one pretty quick. I was in the bathroom, and my helper was, I thought, in the kitchen area of the adjacent room. I had seen her walk into the other room, and my dog was coming towards me to see what was happening. And then she walked back out. Suddenly, I heard this loud noise, so distinct. And when my helper came around, we were both asking, what was that sound? And she was gone. Sounded like the blinds go, exactly, but none of the blinds were still at home. After I'd heard that, I said, well, who came in? She said, no one. But I heard somebody. It wasn't your boys. I said it was, you know, maybe somebody talking to the dogs. I thought it was either the landlord or my mom or something like that. But then they came in and they said, what's happening, girl? Or what's going on, girl? Maybe it was them talking to her dogs or to my dog. And when I asked her again, I said, but you were just there. And I heard somebody else's voice. She says, I wasn't in there. Well, I was in the other room, which was the bedroom or the front room in my bedroom. And then there's a storage room. Maybe she'd walked into the storage room. She didn't hear the boys and it wasn't her voice. But the one thing we both agreed on was that the blinds were going up and that they were already up and somebody had put them and let them go. But it wasn't really fast closing, if that makes any sense. And then it was so loud, we couldn't believe it. Well, none of the blinds have been touched. No one was near me that could have opened the blinds because I was by myself. No one was around her and she wasn't even in the room. So how could the other person be coming into the house? There wasn't one, but there was the first time. I've literally heard a voice so clear and the sound was so distinct and we couldn't find anything to explain it. There's nothing that would have been in the house that we were packing or that would have made us make that sound. Not even a tape would make that sound. My dog suddenly came next to me and she's turning into Velcro and I don't blame her. She's so confused last night. Yesterday was my last day and I turned the keys in and oh my goodness, it was harsh because I still haven't found a place to move to, but I can't keep staying in a hotel. There's been something entering my home physically and has been robbing me blind and I can't figure out how they got in. Someone said that the dowel I put in the window was too short and so they could slide over it. And they wouldn't have a problem if they lifted the window. I'm like, great. You know, they have taken so much and I don't know how to find them. Well, what are they doing? Who is doing it? I want to shoot them in the ass. LOL. This is crazy that somebody can be in there, but they know when I'm gone and they wait till I'm gone. But how the heck do they know unless they're close by and watching, right? So follow-up message. Hey, yeah. I wanted to apologize for any errors in that thing came up. I'm sure there were some typos towards the end, but I had to send it in a hurry. So thank you all for giving me a place to share my encounters. It means so much to me. I would love to hear your thoughts and similar experiences. I did find out the reason behind this level of entities is linked with a cemetery that was extremely close to that home, my former home. Thank you, Susan.
Wow, Susan. Good thing you noped out of that situation. That sounds terrible. And having people, whether real, corporeal, or not corporeal, nah, neither one. Hard pass. Hard pass on either one of those.
Staying in a hotel is tough. And I'm sorry you're having a tough place finding a place to live and all that. We hope you get settled in a nice long-term place and find a good place to stay and don't have that negative connotations and negative energy and stuff. Yeah. It could be something simple as, but you know, just a misheard thing, but it sounds very much like people, you had voices around, something was around trying to let you know it was there. It doesn't sound threatening. Doesn't sound like it was hurting anything, but just wanting to be heard.
Yeah. It sounds like the robbers were hurting things, so.
Yeah, that yeah, shoot them in the ass. I'm all for that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Susan. Mark, this is our final one, so here we go. You ready?
I am ready.
Okay, Mark.
Hey.
I had to tell you that I witnessed my first UFO sighting. The orb I was seeing stood still to the exact point of view outside the window I was having from my couch. Stood still. And when it caught my attention, meaning I walked to the window to watch document it, it slowly started to wander in the early morning sky. I haven't seen anything like that ever my entire life. It looked like a glowing ball. People seeing my video came to dozens of conclusions. Like it was a helicopter with strong lights, an airplane that changed directions, and the light was sunrise reflecting on it. I heard a voice telling me to go back inside. I felt compelled by this feeling, so I did. No idea what would have happened if I had stayed outside. I can tell you this, it wasn't anything like that. The sun could not be reflecting on it because of the cardinal direction and the time of the sighting. I checked Flight Radar 24. I know the app doesn't track everything, so I checked with the, oh, I'm going to butcher this, but Luftfahrtgesellschaft.
I'm just letting you go on now, and I don't know how to pronounce it either. It's a Swedish word.
Swedish version of the FFA. So, sorry. Yeah. And
not FFA, FAA. Not FAA, Freedom Farmers of America. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Future Farmers of America.
Yeah. They couldn't see anything near the sky at that time. I've had a single experience about 25 years ago, and I had actually the opposite feeling. It's hard to explain because when I say I heard a voice inside my head, a voice doesn't properly convey the experience. But for lack of a better way to describe it, the voice inside my head that wasn't my own was telling me that I was seeing was intended for me and that I should go back inside, which it constantly communicated until I went inside. Keep up the great work. Here's my report from Sweden, Ivan. Well, Ivan, wow.
How are you from Sweden?
Hi from Sweden. I am going to say it. You might be implanted. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah.
I'll say, yeah, you saw UAP. You saw something we don't understand in the sky. Orbs are a common sighting. And yeah, I'm glad you checked. You did exactly what you're supposed to. Check Flight Radar, check Luftfahrtgesellschaft, whatever that was pronounced. You know, check your FAA trackers, check Starlink. Check see if there are any launches that day or night, because they can be seen in day or night.
Where did you think of the voice in the head?
Now that, does that not remind you of Woody Derenberger and Ingrid Gold, where you just feel the voice? You don't actually hear it. It's just there. It's not really a voice. It's just talking, compelling. Like it said, it was telling you that this was not meant for you to be seen. So you wisely went inside and left it alone. So I would have done the same thing. Erica definitely would have done the same thing. She would have left the minute she saw it. She wouldn't even gone outside.
Yeah. I would have closed the blinds. Good.
You would have closed the blinds, hoping that they were there. And
yeah, exactly. And then had a stiff drink. You're welcome. That's what I would have done. Yep.
Wow, gang. Thank you so much.
Yes.
These are incredible.
As usual, amazing. We're caught up, Mark. Can you believe it?
I'm so excited, but I know every time these air, we get inundated. So thank you, gang, ahead of time. Send us those stories. ErieTravels.com. There's a contact us page, or you can message us on the socials or email us direct. Erica at Erie Travels, Mark at Erie Travels, info at Erie Travels. We love these stories. Oh my gosh. They are amazing. And you all love these stories. They're our highest recommended episodes. They're our highest referred episodes. Makes me feel bad. I'm doing all this deep dive research when you guys do all the work for us on these.
Absolutely. No, they're amazing. And just give us more strings to pull. So thank you to our patrons who support us. Thank you to all of our Discordians. That's what I'm going to call them. For being on our Discord with us. I don't know if that's correct, but that's happening. And
that's our word now.
You know, I'm going to make up words because I'm even just sounding out the wrong ones. What are you going to take us away with?
Well, I'm going to just say thank you again and like, share, and subscribe, all the things. Please do that. If this was your first experience with us, go back and check some of the old episodes. You're in for a treat. And we're coming into Halloween season. So these are perfect episodes to listen to on a dark and spooky night. So all that said, well, travelers, when you're out and about in your house and you hear a voice from the other room, or if you are out in the woods at night and you see that strange shape, document it, write it down, mention everything you can about it just to make sure you reinforce those memories. But as Erica says, make sure you do that at a safe place after you've run away and gotten safe under your bed and under those covers. But just beware of the Hat Man, and we'll see you on the other side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.